Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 349 all the stanzas. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground. Within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1-4 of Psalter 349.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the second book of the Chronicles and thereof chapter 2. 2 Chronicles 2. And Moses determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 80,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in iron, and in purple, and crimson, and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees, out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. And behold, I will give to my servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat, and 20,000 measures of barley, and 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Then Huram, the king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, Because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Huram said moreover, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord, and an house for his kingdom. And now I have sent a cunning man, endued with understanding, of Huram my father's, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold, and in silver, in brass, in iron, in stone, and in timber, in purple, in blue, and in fine linen, and in crimson, also to drave any manner of graving, to grave any manner of graving, and to find out every device which shall be put to him with thy cunning men, and with the cunning men of my lord David thy father. Now therefore, the wheat and the barley, the oil and the wine, which my lord hath spoken of, let him send unto his servants, and we will cut wood out of Lebanon, as much as thou shalt need, and we will bring it to thee in floats by sea to Joppa, and thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem. And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them. And they were found in 150,000 and 3,600. And he set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burdens, and 80,000 to be hewers in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to set the people at work. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-sufficient, and long-suffering Creator and Provider and Sustainer of all this earth, that we attempt to draw nigh unto Thee in a special hour once again in this day, when we have set it aside for that purpose, that we may come into Thy house in a public way, that we may acknowledge Thee, and that we may call upon Thy name. For it is evident in all that is around us when we may see once again and feel the changes which are coming, that Thy promise that does remain true, that seed time and harvest, that summer and winter, that day and night that shall not cease. And Thou givest to us and unto our children to experience Thy great faithfulness. Oh, that we also may be humbled in the dust before Thee. For we in this day do look unto that which lies before us, and then we must confess that we have no right from our side to draw nigh unto Thee. And what right have we to ask of Thee anything, when as we have heard in this morning hour, then that our sin and our iniquity that is raised unto the heavens. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst give us then in the first place a truly humble heart before Thee. O, we have to acknowledge that we are undeserving of the least of all Thy notice and of all Thy attention, that Thou shouldest look or that Thou shouldest think upon us, especially as we do know better than the world amongst whom that we do dwell, having heard Thy word from the days of our childhood, and yet the carelessness and the worldliness and the carnality that lives in our hearts, that is so very great, we being accustomed to hearing Thy holy word, and so much of it that is only coming into our minds for a short time, and we go our way once again. We do not humble ourselves as we ought to do. O Lord, it all must come from Thee. Deal not with us according to our many sins. And wilt Thou look upon us through the blood of Thy dear and only begotten Son? That is the only basis for which and by which we may come unto Thee in this evening hour. That Thou wouldst freely give unto us that which we do not deserve. Then we must acknowledge that Thou art the Creator and the Sustainer of this whole world. We cannot give unto ourselves anything in the season that lies before us. But Thou, O Lord, Thou hast laid the foundations of the world, and Thou dost make the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of men, and not only the necessities of our life, but also wine, which maketh glad the heart of men, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. O thou dost give prosperity, even in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, so that there may even be those common enjoyments that are in this life, with all the blessings out of thy hand. Oh, that we may not receive them out of thy left hand, but that they may be received in truth out of thy right hand, that they may be blessings from thy heavenly store, that may draw us as goodness from thee to thy blessed footstool. O Lord, break thou our hearts with thy goodness, that it may lead us to a true repentance. And wilt thou go before us then in the season that lies before us? For we are so helpless, and we are dependent upon thee for everything, that thou wouldst then give the rain to come from heaven in its due season. Wilt thou give the sun to shine, and that thou wouldst give the farmers what are necessary, what is necessary to do all the labors of their hands, that thou wouldst make the crops to grow, that thou wouldst give the cattle also to flourish, and that thou may give food for the world in which that we yet live, in the time in which we live, in the country, in the province that we live in. Lord, that thou may provide for us also and our dear children all the necessities of this life, and that thou may give that we may continue to live in the midst of this world, and that we may acknowledge thee for all that thou dost give unto us, that we could not do without thee in anything. Wilt thou make to prosper the work of each and every one, the fathers, in whatever labors that thou dost give unto them, in the farms, on the trades, or wherever that they may labor, and that thou may bless the businesses also, and that thou may give prosperity among us, that thou may provide for us as a people in a financial way. For all things are thine, they belong all to thee, and there are so many needs, and needs in the midst of the families, but also our own Christian school, and also for our own congregation, and needs for the poor, needs in the midst of the denomination. Lord, thou alone art able to provide for each and every one. Wilt thou give strength then to go forward in all the labors? Wilt thou give diligence also that we may not be slothful in our work? Give us faithfulness to work as we do in thy sight. Wilt thou look upon the mothers in the households? Wilt thou strengthen them also in the labors? For there are also many that have children, and thou knowest all the cares and the concerns each and every day, the strength and the health that is necessary to do that most important work, and to set an example, especially before our rising generation, that thou may go in this season also before our own school. Help the school board. Help the instructors, the principals, the teachers that stand before our children. Give them strength for the day. And wilt thou bless all the instruction that our children may receive. that thy name may be evidently feared in that place, that they may stand before our children in a godly example, and that we as parents also may set such an example before our youth, that thou may prosper our rising generation, to give unto them not only that instruction that they need for this life, but wilt thou give to them those new hearts that they cannot miss as they journey with us to that great eternity. Thou hast said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that thou wouldst make us each and every one as a little child, so dependent upon thee, that we could not take one step outside of thee and thy holy word. We ask of thee also for those that are afflicted, those that are sick, for thou knowest where that they are. That father especially who has been diagnosed with a serious disease, Lord, that thou may remember him in this season also that lies before him. Oh, that thou may bless the treatment and all that will be done by the doctors. And wilt thou yet remember him in thy mercy. The little child also that has fallen. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to remember her. And that thou may give a full recovery. And that thou may touch all our hearts together, that thy callings may be sanctified, because we know not our life. Wilt thou remember those who have become old, her that is sick in the nurse in the Bethesda Independent Care Home? Lord, thou knowest where she is also. Wilt thou give that health and strength unto her and all that recover from operations? Wilt thou remember in thy mercy? Go then before us as a nation and as a people in the season that lies before us. Remember our rulers. Oh, turn us again, Lord. Also look upon us when elections shall be held in the coming season. O Lord, we beseech thee, thou who hast all the hearts of men in thy hands, could it please thee to bring us back again unto thy holy word and testimony? Give us men who may rule us according unto thy holy word. And wilt thou give that thy law may come on the judgment seats in the country in which we do dwell? Remember the judges that yet must make a decision concerning the schools. O Lord, help us. And wilt thou give a favorable decision as thou alone art able to work? Do remember us as a congregation, even in the season that lies before us. And then we hope to build a new sanctuary. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou thyself may bless the labors of our hands, that thou may provide the means that are necessary, that thou may protect each and every one therein. And wilt thou give unto us to be a people who are united in that one thing that is necessary, that we may be united together with a desire for the glory of thy holy name, for a desire to hear thy word as it is written, as it is written in thy word, preached unto us, that we may receive also in the season that lies before us that strength that is necessary from above, that we may do the labors of our hands with diligence and faithfulness. But may it be also with that blessing that we cannot give. O Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou may give in a spiritual way that new life. Oh, that it may be all around, that it may be abounding in our midst, that Thou may give the dew from the heavens and the rain in the former and the latter seasons, and that Thou may give that there may be growth in that grace which we cannot plant and we cannot water. Oh, Lord, convert us. Convert us and our children with that conversion, and lead us in the way that Thou leadest all Thy people. Wilt Thou be with us in this evening when we hope to bring a little portion of Thy holy word? Wilt Thou give that our hearts may receive it, and that Thy name may be glorified? Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 9, all the stanzas. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to Thee. And what follows, there is only one collection today, and that is for the Calvin Christian School, unless that it is otherwise marked. Psalter number 9, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, prayer day is a day wherein we look especially into the future. The future that is unknown to each and every one of us. That is known unto the Lord alone. That future that is not only known to Him, but that is also in His own hands. And when we gather together in a day of prayer, then we are, even by that very doing, that very work act, we are expressing our dependence upon the Lord. That He alone is able to provide for us, and that we cannot do without Him. For that season that lies before us, we cannot give to ourselves one drop of water, and we cannot give to ourselves one crumb of bread. The cattle upon a thousand hills, we read in God's Word, they belong unto Him, and He does with them as He wills. He is able, and He withholds, and He, on the other side, He gives. The Lord Jesus instructed His disciples that they should be without anxiety concerning their natural needs. That is, not without care altogether in a natural way, as if we have not to labor for them, but that they would be without anxiety, without anxious care concerning those needs. Wherefore? That is because He says that He Himself, the Lord, He will take care of His own church. There is nothing so comforting, there is no greater blessing than to belong to that church. And because they are the apple of His eye, and their bread and their water, that is sure. And that is the reason that the Lord Jesus, He has admonished us that we would seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, they shall be added unto us. We can read that that is now the first thing that King Solomon did seek when he came to the kingdom. Do you know how old he was, children? King Solomon, that may surprise you, but he was, it is thought, somewhere between 14 and 18 years old when he became king. And when he became king, the very first thing that he did is he gathered everyone together and he went to the house of God. He went to have a prayer day. He brought everyone to that high place we read in Gihon, where they worshipped the Lord, where the altar of the Lord was. And we read there he offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon that altar. That was to acknowledge the Lord, that He had given unto him the kingdom. And that was to ask of the Lord His help to go forward in that work. The Lord, He smelled a sweet savor. We read He came to Solomon in that night. He appeared to him. And then He asked him, He says, "What wilt thou?" You may ask whatever that you will. What will you have of me? Is there not something? We do not have a prayer day merely because we have needs. But we have a prayer day also because the Lord Himself, He is inviting us to ask of Him, because He is the same today as He was in the days of Solomon. And now what would you ask, children? When the Lord had said to you, you may ask whatever that you will, and I will give it to you, what would you ask of Him? What do you read of King Solomon, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old maybe? And he receives this invitation from the Lord. And what does he ask from Him? Well, we read he asks for wisdom. He asks for knowledge. He feels how incompetent he is, that he is but a little child. He does not know how to go before this people of the Lord. And he looks for the welfare of that church. Is that not a testimony of that fear of the Lord that lived in the heart of Solomon? The Lord was well pleased with that request. Is He well pleased also with our requests? And the Lord gave to him what he asked. And not only so, but he gave him so much more than what he asked. And that will now be the experience of the true church. What was one of the first things that Solomon does as king? Well, we know that he built that house for the name of the Lord. That was evidence of the wisdom that the Lord had given unto him. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this with you in this evening from that chapter that was read to you. 2 Chronicles 2, and there of the fourth verse, 2 Chronicles 2, verse 4, Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. So far the words of our text. Solomon declares to Hiram his plans to build an house to the name of the Lord. First, his intended dedication of this house. Second, his intended purpose of this house. And third, his intended duration of this house. Solomon declares to Hiram his plans to build an house to the name of the Lord. First, his intended dedication of this house. Second, his intended purpose of this house. And third, his intended duration of this house. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God. They were the words of King Solomon unto Hiram. He is called Huram, but that is now the same person, Hiram, who was the king of Tyre. Tyre, it was an ancient city, had existed for a long time already on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. There was a city that was very well known in those days for its trading and for its ships. It often did provide ships for the expeditions of the for the expeditions for the Egyptian kings. Thus, its commercial activity that was very well known. And we can read how that Hiram was already a friend of David, that he has built him a house. And Solomon, he has a desire that was his wisdom also, that he may maintain this relation and that his father had built with Hiram, the king of Tyre. We read in the third verse, and Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and did send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. And what is that first project that Solomon will ask help with of Hiram? He says, behold, take notice, that is, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, young man. And then he is not afraid to say the name of the Lord his God. Is that so with us also, young people? That he will say to this heathen king that he belongs to the people of Israel not only, but that the God of Israel, that is now his God. That was not a God that was known to those other nations of the world, and because they had their own gods. And we know that that God of Israel, that was by those nations of the world so often despised. We can hear that in Sennacherib, in Rabshakeh, when they are mocking with the name of the Lord. And then they think that the Lord God of Israel, he is the same as all the other idol gods, which actually were so very, very weak. But Solomon, he says something about who that this God is, that he is a great God, he says. He is a God that is above all the gods that are in the earth. Oh, from how many of us it would come such a testimony out of our mouth in the midst of the world in which we live. King Solomon, he loved the Lord. Do you love the Lord too, boys and girls? King Solomon, he loved the Lord in the days of his youth. Where did that come from? Well, you say, that is not something that is inherited, but we know that David also loved the Lord in the days of his youth. No, that is not given from father to son, because there were those sons of David that also did not fear the Lord. Only think about Absalom. No, the Lord says that we love him because that he first loved us. And yet, the Lord, he is very often, he is using the fathers for the sake of the children. Thus, he is working in the generations of his own people. That instruction which the children may receive from the fathers, that may be blessed, that may be sanctified. David loved the Lord. He desired to make him an house. But you know, boys and girls, he was not permitted to do so. David was a man of war. And the Lord said that a son of his, he would raise up to sit upon his throne. And he would give him peace in his kingdom. And he would build an house to the name of the Lord. And the Lord gave him this desire in his own heart. And thus he is not forced to build such an house, but such an house that became the desire of the heart of Solomon. And in this, Solomon was a type. because he was to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the King of Peace. And the Lord Jesus, as that King of Peace, would also build a church in the midst of this world that we hope to hear of a little bit later. But the Lord, he is now so often working by means that a father and a mother, that they are being used for the sake of the children. That love that lived in the heart of David for the house of the Lord. Is that true also of us, fathers and mothers? Do our children see something in our life? Do they notice the love of the Lord in our life? Because that comes out in our deeds. Then they will notice something of a love for his house and for his day and for his people and for all his institutions. And then they will feel something when we are reading the Holy Scriptures. And they will feel something by times when we may be asking something of the Lord himself. And then they will feel something when it is the day of the Lord and the desire of the Lord of the heart to go up unto the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Or does that ever live in your heart, fathers and mothers, because this is also blessed and sanctified, not only our words, but also our actions, what is now living within our heart, blessed an example. And we see that here also in Solomon. Behold, he says, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God. That is now the blessed intention of this young king. Can you say that too? May you say that too? Also this day, because we also hope as a congregation soon to begin to build an house unto the name of the Lord. But you know, you hear it here out of the mouth of Solomon, and he says that in such a personal way. He says, an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Then you may feel something of what that now meant to Solomon. That was not as if he built his own house. He was not going to just be building a barn or another a building or structure or work in his kingdom. No, this was a work that was so very special to him. And you hear that in the manner of his speaking to this heathen king, that this is something that lay now so dear, that lay so close unto the heart of this young man. That is a building, he says, that we are going to dedicate unto the Lord. To dedicate, he says, it to him. What does that mean? To dedicate it. Well, that means to consecrate it, to hallow it, to separate it, that it may be only for the worship of the Lord. They would be stones. They will not be special in and of themselves. And that will be cedar trees. No, not special in and of themselves. And gold and silver and all kinds of precious stones that are going to be separated from all the other stones and from all the other wood and all the other things that are in this world. Or you would say, are they not then precious stones? Are they not blessed timber that may be used for such a work? You know, we read in the Word of God that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. waiting for the redemption. Indeed, there is nothing in this whole world that ought not to be consecrated unto the Lord our God. Why? Because it is all His. Because He has made it. And it all ought to be dedicated unto Him. In our state of innocence, it was. That is the way that we were created. And then everything in the whole world, and that was all for the use of the service of the Lord. And now how is it with us? Because we come up on prayer day and we say, Lord, give us food, give us drink, give us prosperity, bless the work of our hands. Why? For what? What do we want to do with it? Do we have a desire to use all these things in that fear, in that tender fear of the name of the Lord? Or do we have a desire to come up to the house of the Lord, to ask Him for all the blessings of the Lord, and then to turn our back again to Him and to go our own way? Then it will be for us cursed. And yet we know that many of the things that we have in this world, they are for what we call a secular use. Not an evil use, not a sinful use necessarily, but just a secular use, meaning a non-religious use that is for some purpose in the midst of this world. But how much now is in this world that is being used for walking in the ways of sin? How many of the stones, how much of the cedar trees in the midst of this world do not have to groan because of the sin of mankind, who are using them as the creation of the God of the heavens and of the earth in worshiping Satan himself. Oh, who can tell what that groaning of the creation is? And now Solomon, he speaks about taking all these things and dedicating them, separating them, making them holy. That means to separate them for a very, very special use. He says to build an house with them unto the name of the Lord. And what is now the purpose of this? That is our second thought, his intended purpose of this house. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. Thus, he says, to burn before Him sweet incense. What is that? Sweet incense. Incense that was placed upon fire, upon coals, an incense that would have a very savory smell, and that would ascend up into heaven. So incense in that time, the smoke of that incense had a representation, and that signified prayer. Thus Solomon, he says, this house that I build, that is to be for us, for me, that is to be a house of prayer. Solomon could not do without prayer. Can we also not do without prayer? Secret prayer that is according to our fathers, the thermometer of the life, the spiritual life of God's true people. When they are able to leave that inner chamber empty, then there is evidence that that spiritual life that is not flourishing. But Solomon, he speaks here in a special way about public prayer. That is to bring the congregation together and together to acknowledge the Lord and to send up an incense before Him. Prayer that is not only a duty, that is not only commanded us by the Lord, but is it also a need? Is it also a desire? We see that in the heart of this young man who must first in all his intentions go up unto this high place that is in Gihon, who must offer sacrifices unto that name of the Lord, that he may ask direction from the Lord. Is this need, is this desire then also living in our heart? Or is our prayer day, Is that but a form and a custom? Is our prayer life, is that always form, is that always custom? Or are there some times that it is different? Are there times, not only that we have natural needs, needs of the mourners, needs of the sick, needs of food and drink, but are there also sometimes soul needs? Are there sometimes soul desires that look and desire the communion of the Lord? Because that prayer that is a symbol of that blessed communion. Solomon, he felt the impossibility to lead this people. And now there is something so very beautiful in the Word of God. If you go many years later to the book of Isaiah, and if you go even to the time of the New Testament, then you will find that the Lord Himself, that is now not David and not Solomon, but it is the Lord Himself, that His calling this temple, the house of prayer, the Lord. Thus, the Lord, He has, as it were, taken this over from His servant, that He had a desire that it may be a house of prayer. But the Lord, He says, even so many years later, as it were, I have heard thee, and that I have made it, and He owns it to be an house of prayer, to burn before Him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread. That showbread that was testifying of the sustenance of the Lord for His people. That showbread was, that table was never to be empty. Table of showbread was always to have this bread placed upon it. Thus the Lord, He testifies that He will keep alive that people whom He has separated for Himself. That the Lord, He will sustain that people. Thus when Solomon, he mentions, he says it will be a house of prayer, but he says also for the continual showbread. And then we can feel how that Solomon, he has that congregation laying on his heart the needs of this people, and that he is not able to provide for that people. There is nothing that he can give to them. He cannot keep them alive. He cannot give them food. He cannot give them drink. All this, he says, that has to come from the Lord. And therefore, this house that will be for this purpose, that we may bow, that we may acknowledge him, and that we may ask of him sustenance. Where does your food and drink come from? That is not, there is not the same cause for food and drink for everyone in the world. There is some food and drink that is coming from the common grace of God. And then there is food and drink that is not coming from the common grace of God. What is the distinction? Solomon, he continues. He says, and for the burnt offering. And for the burnt offering. What was now the burnt offering? You know, boys and girls, what is the meaning of that burnt offering? We speak in these weeks about the suffering, the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that you finish praying, not only on prayer day, you finish praying every prayer, then you say, in Jesus' name. Or you say, for Jesus' sake. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? You say, because mom and dad, they say, I must do that. That is right. And why do they say you must do that? You may not leave that out. Because everything that you ask that has one foundation, that has one basis, there is only one reason that the Lord, he can give anything to us. There is only one reason that the Lord, he can ask us, what wilt thou that I shall give thee? The devils, they cannot ask. The Lord does not ask them, but he asks it of mankind. The Lord Jesus took on him what nature? The nature of angels? No. The Lord Jesus, he took on him the nature of man. And it is this suffering of Christ, symbolized here, typified here in this burnt offering, that is now the basis of all the requests that are going before. So, that may be in house of prayer, and that it may be for that continual showbread, that is all based on what? On that sacrifice of Christ. Now there are those in the world, they will say, see, that means that Christ, he died for all men because, well, at least out of him comes food and drink for the whole world. That is not so. Because for the reprobate, indeed their food and their drink that is coming out of common grace, only so that that world that may continue to exist until the Lord is bringing in his kingdom. But for the true church, their bread and their water, all the natural needs, they are also flowing out of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, when Solomon, he is asking about this showbread, and that the Lord will sustain his people, then he is asking also about this sacrifice, that sustenance that is not coming merely out of common grace for that people, but that sustenance for the children of Israel may be flowing out of that sacrifice of Christ and for the burnt offerings. Thus the Lord, He is providing for His church out of that sacrifice. But the Lord is also making that sacrifice into food, into drink for the people. Thus we have commemorated the Holy Supper of the Lord so recently, wherein we have heard that broken body and that shed blood that is becoming for that true church their spiritual meat and drink. And thus Solomon, when he is asking for all of these things in the house of the Lord, then it is not only for the natural, but it is as even behind it as a support for it, or as sustenance for it, as it were, the spiritual things, the most important things. And for the burnt offerings, he says, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. Then he thinks of all the feast days that they may have in that time. And Solomon, when he goes forward in his mind, then he looks forward to the time that he may bring all that people over whom that he is now reigning, that he may bring them and he may go up with them unto this house of the Lord to bow before him, to acknowledge him, and to supplicate unto him for all their needs. Let us sing Psalter 71, stanzas 3 and 4. My one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days, Jehovah's beauty to admire, and in his temple to inquire. 3 and 4 of Psalter 71. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. Our third thought is intended duration of this house. How long did Solomon intend this house, this temple, to continue? We read, this is an ordinance forever to Israel. We do not have to think that Solomon believed or thought that this temple that he built or would build, that would endure forever. But the temple, and this temple in a special way, that was a symbol. We know the Lord, He has established the nation of Israel, and He led them 40 years through the wilderness in their wanderings. And then the Lord, He dwelt among them in a tabernacle, in a tent. And what was then Canaan? Well, Canaan, that was the promised land. That was the land that they were traveling unto. So Canaan, that symbolized their rest. That was their resting place. That was where they were pilgrimaging to. And thus Canaan, that was for the children of Israel a symbol of that eternal rest. Because Paul writes to the Hebrews that if Jesus, when he means if Joshua had given them rest, then the Lord would not have spoken of another day. In other words, the land of Canaan was not their real rest, but that land of Canaan was only symbolical of an eternal rest. And thus, within the land of Canaan, the temple of the Lord, that was the dwelling place of God Himself. And when we consider the land of Canaan as the eternal rest of God's children, and then that temple in the land of Canaan that was symbolizing the eternal abode of God Himself. We read the Apostle John, when he has seen and he has written of the New Jerusalem, then he says, and there was no temple therein. He says, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Thus, the temple was a great symbol in the land of Canaan. And thus, we must be very careful. And we must make a distinction between that temple and the sanctuary which we do hope the Lord willing to build. Because there is a great likeness between a sanctuary today and a temple of the Lord. But these two are not to be equated with each other. When that Jewish nation had crucified their king, then we know that the nation as a theocracy, as a political nation with God as their head, God as their king, that political theocracy that came to an end. And once that came to an end, also the symbolism that was therein ceased. It was actually a symbol in and of itself that it came to an end. because it was the promise of the Lord from the beginning that that would eventually be for all the nations of this world. Thus, the true places of worship that are in this world are no longer symbols in the same way that the temple of the Lord in the land of Canaan was a symbol. And yet, the Lord has declared Himself that it is an house of prayer. And we can read the Apostle Paul that he is speaking about the sanctuaries of the Lord as the house of the Lord. Thus, it is not made so by its grandeur, not made so by the greatness of it in the midst of this world, but we read that it is made so by the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, the willingness of the Lord to come and to dwell in that place. And the Lord, He is declaring that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there, He says, am I in the midst of them. And then it is for this reason that that house of the Lord is to have a great respect, and that we come to that house of the Lord dressed in a proper way, and that we sit in a proper way, and that we do not speak to one another, young people, boys and girls, and that we are listening attentively in that house of the Lord. That is because of the promise of the presence of the Lord Himself. And now Solomon, he says, this is an ordinance forever to Israel. Why? Because he believed that that temple that would forever exist? No. But when Solomon has built that earthly temple, Solomon was himself a symbol of Christ. Christ in the peaceful reign as the King of Peace, who would build His church. He would build His temple in the midst of this world. Paul, he writes to the Corinthians, he says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Thus he speaks the same as the sanctuary of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in that sanctuary. Then he says, the Lord is Himself building His church. He says, you are the building of God. You are built upon a foundation of the apostles, of the prophets. Christ Himself, he says, He is the chief cornerstone, in whom all that building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Thus, the church of God that is being built by Christ Himself. And this is now that ordinance forever that King Solomon, he is speaking about. Paul, he says, we have a building that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. Thus, a church that is going to continue forever and forever. Christ, He has dedicated that church. Just as Solomon, he says, we will dedicate that church. The apostle, he says that that church that is dedicated as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, a people that are separated, that they should show forth the praises of Him who had called them from nature's darkness into His marvelous light. Thus, a people who are separated from all the people in the world. Special stones, not in themselves, not of themselves. Special cedar trees. They are being used because they are chosen by the Lord that they may be used for His temple. And they are stones that are set apart then by the Lord Himself to be used to build that temple. Set apart by the Lord, and they are set apart for the Lord. Thus, that ought to be seen, that ought to be felt. Even as those stones in that wood, in that temple, that may be seen by the entire world about them to be stones that are hallowed, to be stones that are set apart for that service of the Lord. Congregation, it is prayer day. We ask the Lord for all our needs now for the future. And if the Lord will now hear us, will we now separate them for the service of the Lord? But now just a step further, we hope to build a house now for the name of the Lord. But our question now is, are we also separated? We will dedicate it unto the name of the Lord. But are also we, our whole life, our whole heart, dedicated unto that name of the Lord? What are we doing on the earth? What is our purpose in this world? Oh, did you ever feel something? How that we are just as the stones and as the wood in this world that is all for the service just of this world? Do you ever feel how that your purpose is lost? How that you have left the Lord in paradise? How that your heart continues? Oh, did you ever say, oh Lord, may I be hallowed? May I be dedicated? Congregation, let us arise and let us build. As the Lord, He has promised us, has prospered us. As the Lord, He has blessed us. And may it be an house that is dedicated to Him, separated to Him, an holy house, an house of prayer. May it be for many years for us. And may it be also for our children for many, many years. But it will not be forever. It will be but temporary. Oh, may we beseech the Lord that also we, with our children, may be part of that temple, that building that He is building. And that we may feel something of our wretchedness, of our misery without God in the world. And that we may supplicate and ask the Lord, oh, wilt thou dedicate us? Wilt thou separate us? Wilt thou make us holy unto thee as an ordinance that will never cease? But as an ordinance forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thou thy word. Remember us as we go forward, and wilt thou bless the labors of our hands, especially in and for thy holy house. And wilt thou keep and watch over and protect each and every one, but wilt thou also set us apart from sin, apart from this world, that we may be united into a blessed body, into a blessed building, wherein thou art the chief cornerstone, that we may have our feet set upon that solid rock. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 227, all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. 1, 2, and 3 of 227.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.